All right. Hello, Laguna.
What's going on, Laguna Beach?
Yeah, so my name is Mike Roy, and I'm here with...
John Mann.
And we are representing Rancho La Bolsa Dive Club.
Right here in your very own Laguna Beach?
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit today about what we do, why we do it, what's important about cleaning the oceans, especially of old fishing lead, which is part of what we do. But to talk about the club a little bit, Rancho La Bolsa, from where the club name was derived, was actually this area of Laguna Beach during the Spanish land grants. And so this area from the Newport Harbor, I think, all the way down to Main Beach was known as Rancho La Bolsa, which is pretty fitting because one of the areas where we dive for lead is a pretty dangerous spot, depending on the tide. And we've affectionately named it the Pocket. So La Bolsa is purse or pocket. So I think it's a very fitting club name.
You brought in a bag of lead as I don't know if it's a parting gift or what it is, but it's this is lead that you found in our right here off our shores.
Yeah. So these oceans here in Laguna have been fished since probably the late 1800s, and back in the late 1800s, people made their own lead. They would melt lead, put them, you know, in these trays, and we find all kinds of shapes. Sizes,
tire weights, spark plugs,
sledgehammers,
all kinds of things.
all of this for them to fish. All of this they used as on their fishing lures.
Well, primarily they'd use fishing lead and spark plugs.
Okay,
spark plugs were they're free, right. And I think particularly during the 70s, a lot of times we had refugees come over from Vietnam and they were subsistence fishermen.
Right.
So they would go to the auto parts store and they would get free spark plugs and they would come here and fish. Right. So we have about 1,000 spark plugs that
I think we just counted 1,000.
I think we just hit 1,000.
One member of our group collects them all and he just gave
Fiend.
Us the tally.
Fiend. Wow. Well, shout out to Fiend, yeah. Travis Wolofson.
Original member.
Yeah, founder. And we probably have over 2,000 pounds of lead. So I have a small bag. Y'all can't see this. It's about 8 inches by 4 inches. And how much does that weigh, John?
That looks heavy.
It's a lot.
That looks heavy.
It's a lot. We actually, those of you at home can't see what we're holding right now, but it's probably a 9 by 5 inch sack full of lead.
Right.
And we've pulled these out with us. So we've got these full at 40 feet deep.
Yeah.
Wow. We're yanking them to the surface. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But.
So we dive mostly at Emerald Bay, but we have dived, I guess, all over Laguna. So back in the early days of Laguna, there used to be a series of piers here in Laguna. And so many people fished off of those, but the piers are no longer here. So we've identified the locations where the piers were.
Right.
And we go dive those locations and we pull out old lead and spark plugs.
What a noble and worthy cause, man. So how'd you get started doing this?
Wow. So that's a it's kind of a great story. So maybe a bit of a long story. So I guess they're like during COVID, there were a group of guys that were all watermen, and we were diving because that summer the viz was amazing. It was about 40 feet. Water temperature was warm, and we were diving all summer long. And me and Todd Miller, we've been diving together for years down in the Sea of Cortez, spearfishing. I'm an underwater photographer, so he and I would dive together for, every summer we go on a fishing charter. And then the other founding members would be Wes Barnes, Travis Wolofson, Garrett Miller,
Condor.
Clay.
Yeah.
That's Clay's last name. Knapp.
Yep.
And then Madrone. What's Mr. Madrone's name?
Madrone.
Yeah.
We'll just call him Madrone.
You don't know.
That's a stage name. He's a famous singer. He's in Nashville right now. Young guy. I'm sure you all know him at home. So one day I show up in my wetsuit because it's wintertime and it's January and it's freezing outside. So I bring, a little 3-2 full wetsuit to go diving. Right. And I show up and Todd says, no, we started diving without wetsuits. It's a Wim Hof method, it's good for your metabolism, it's good for your immune system. And during COVID, everybody wants a good immune system. So that's what we're doing. And And I'm like, I'm not doing that. That's stupid, man.
It's almost like you're feeling pranked at that point. You know?
Yeah. And it was 55-degree water.
Yeah, it was pretty cold. Yeah, it was probably 59 that day. But, you know, Todd breaks out these club hoodies like John's wearing.
Right.
And
very cool, by the way.
Yeah.
Are they for sale?
No.
No.
Right. They must be earned.
Okay.
Everyone's got a nickname, a call sign.
That's very cool, by the way. Yeah. Very cool club hoodies.
Yeah. They're adorned with our patches and kind of things that we achieve as a group.
Right.
Yeah. So when
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, we're just telling the story. So when it comes to the patches, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, as watermen, you know, throughout the ages, you know, I kind of gave a little speech about this, that in the ancient Polynesia, the tribes and the watermen, you know, earned tattoos when they did something that the tribe thought was worthy of a tattoo.
Right.
And that's how people came to know who they were.
Right.
And other tribes knew who they were by what they did, their tattoos. So, you know, we don't want to go Mike Tyson in this club. You know, we're all professionals. So we have patches.
Okay.
Instead. So it's a sign of a good waterman when you accomplish something and you get the patch that goes with it. John's covered with patches.
Bro. Right. What's the shark patch?
This is a scuba certification. So those of us who can scuba,
right.
We've got a lead patch here. It's 100.
Right.
So you get your first 100 pieces, you get a patch. Catalina Island patch right here.
All right.
Our current diver of the year, you know, Fish Boy.
Jeff Moran.
Right.
Located all these underwater caves in Catalina and pretty secret locations, but
chambers.
Chambers. Yeah. And my wife and I were able to accomplish the mission and go do these cave dives.
And in these cave dives, do you find the same kind of pollutants like lead? Do you find stuff in caves?
There's all kinds of stuff. It's really
wow.
Growing up here, I never imagined that there was all this stuff just floating around in our ocean, all this trash or garbage.
Yeah, every time you go underwater, we free dive every Sunday. Every time we're in the water, you find something that probably doesn't belong there.
Right.
And so, you know, we've pulled out old hubcaps. We've pulled out an old sledgehammer that we've made our Diver of the Year trophy. It's crusted with rocks and barnacles. And it's probably underwater for 100 years or something?
Anchors.
Yeah. So we call it the war hammer.
Yeah.
I've seen like traffic signs, like all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, our message today is we live in an amazing area. The ocean is, you know, one of these places that you look at the surface of it and you say, well, that's the ocean.
Right.
But it's so deep and filled with so much life and so much stuff that we have just thrown in it that we're here to kind of raise awareness of our playground, where we live, where we, you know, where we love. So,
What a great, and again, I'm glad you're doing this because what you don't see, you don't appreciate how bad it is. And if you can't see the pollution from standing on the shore, then you don't know how bad the situation is.
Yeah, I think it's out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
And people really don't think about it. So one of the things we want to do with our lead collection is we're going to pitch to city council the creation of a piece of art that's going to house a lot of the lead that we've found. And we'd like to put it in Heisler Park as a reminder of what lies beneath the surface.
Very cool.
So kind of a reminder to people, hey, be mindful about what you leave in the sand because that's going to end up in the ocean.
Right. You know. When you dive, do you? Because I see it. I'm a kayaker, so I see it on top and entangled within the kelp. I see mylar balloons and strings. I even once saw a seagull with the mylar balloon and the string tied around it. Do you see a lot of mylar down deep?
I don't see it so deep. I see it kind of on the beach.
Yeah.
In the beach. My wife and I will go. We're boaters too. We're going out spear diving, spear fishing, you know, and we'll spend a good 30 to 40 minutes a trip picking up mylar balloons out there. They're everywhere. Yeah. All these graduation balloons and whatnot. Yeah. So when you think, you know, you're celebrating, you
right.
be careful with what you
Right. Your celebration of 5 minutes, you kill the earth for the rest of existence. Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. And that stuff doesn't biodegrade.
Right.
You know, like the lead is toxic. Right. And I don't know how long it would take for a piece of lead the size, you know, of a quarter to biodegrade, probably what, a million years?
Right. We're trying to date some of the pieces that we're finding.
Yeah. Right.
Because like Mike said, we have, you know, homemade lead.
Right.
And that's got to be from a long, long time ago. So,
yeah,
you know, it's still in pretty darn good shape and it's down there. So,
yeah, we have photographs of guys fishing from like the early 1900s off the rocks here. So,
yeah. And so way before that, even way before that, lead's been poisoning our oceans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can our listeners who are listening, how can they help you?
Talk about it.
Okay.
Talk about it.
All right. You know, have conversations just like this.
Yeah. Have conversations like this. Tell people, hey, look, you know, that cup that you just dropped, go pick that up.
Right.
You know,
there's balloons that you're celebrating with,
right.
You know,
stop it,
dispose them responsibly or get something that's biodegradable.
Right.
You know, and a lot of it is, you know, we who live here are pretty conscious of the ocean because we're in it, we're on it. But we have a lot of tourists,
right.
Visitors.
Right.
I don't know, what's the number, 3 million, 4 million?
It's 6 million a year, little over 6 million visitors a year.
Yeah, and they...
All of them leaving plastic pails and shovels on the sand when they pick up and leave, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a collection of beach toys in my house.
Yeah. And again, you say not biodegraded, that stuff lasts a long time. Yeah.
But we can be friendly stewards to those visitors, you know, and educate them on why this is so special and...
Yeah.
The ecosystem here.
Right.
I think there's something important about being an ambassador.
Right.
You know, like we're all of us who live here, who love the ocean, should be ambassadors and, you know, in a friendly way, communicate to people what's not okay about just leaving trash.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And trying to get more trash cans on the beaches, you know, which we've been able to do in some places. Sue Kempf, our mayor, has been really great, especially down in areas of Victoria Beach and Thousand Steps and beaches to the south that we haven't paid much attention to.
Right.
You know, we've gotten some more trash cans in these really vital places that are heavily impacted by tourism, and that's been a big win. So big shout out to Sue Kempf for you know, showing up for the ocean too.
Yeah, she shows up. She puts her money where her mouth is, and she shows. She really does. And you mentioned the south beaches now. Were you ever getting any pushback from the county? Because the county used to control southbound. Now, starting this summer, it's going to be a city controlled all our south. Do you expect more cooperation in doing things like putting more trash cans out now that it's a city?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it takes, you know, a community to be passionate about what we do. You know, I live at Victoria Beach, and we had a meeting a couple years ago,
right.
And we included marine safety and public works, and we invited all the city council members to come down, and it was really about what was happening on the beach. And, you know, we have people doing weddings, and photographers come down there all the time, and they leave a bunch of garbage.
Right.
And how do you maintain, you know, a beach with 3 trash cans when you go to Main Beach and there's a trash can every 10 feet?
Right.
You know, we couldn't get a trash can.
Right.
We had to have a town hall at the beach, you know, with everybody
to get a trash can.
So, you know, that's not okay.
Right.
We should be conscious of like all the beaches. Like Main Beach is where our main tourism is, but we all live at these other beaches.
Right.
So, you know, we need to have, you know, accommodations.
Right. And now that we're the internet is so, it is everything. People that used to come and just go to Main Beach now find our other little hidden coves and utilize those coves and other beaches that we have here that they didn't used to know about. Now they know about them.
Oh, yeah, they know about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, in droves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the impact is big, and it's big on what ends up in the ocean. And, you know, like Diving Vic, you know, you can find plugs and lead weights and Mylar balloons and everything else, including a small shopping cart.
Right. Right. Let's play a song and then come back on the other side and chat a little more. What do you pick? You picked a, and I love the fact that you picked a White Lion song to start us off with. Tell us about that and the significance of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, cool. So White Lion, for those of you who don't know, is an 80s rock/metal band. one of my favorite guitar players, being a guitar player, Vito Bratta. He's highly underrated. Put him in the same category as like an Eddie Van Halen, kind of a combination of Eddie Van Halen, Neil Sean.
Right.
Wow. But this, yeah, he's well, listen.
He's got great stuff. All right.
So this song is one of my favorite songs, but it's about Greenpeace. And it talks about one person standing up and their mission and talking about keep fighting. Stand up and keep fighting and be seen, be heard, and be active.
All right, let's check it out now.
Vito Bratta.
Crying tonight, are you feeling alright? I tell the world that you are down on your luck. You were one of a kind.
Everyone, yeah. Thanks for that jam.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah, that was sweet. Hey, that was sweet.
Vito kicks ass. I just have to say it.
Yeah.
Got me fired up.
Yeah. It's a great song.
It's good guitar, man. That was really, that was pretty sweet.
Great guitar. Yeah.
Before we get into, you know, a couple things that we wanted to talk about in this next segment, I wanted to give a shout out to our Instagram account because, as Mike mentioned, he's been traveling the world and taking underwater photography, and it's incredible stuff. It's professional stuff.
Thanks, bro.
My wife follows him around. She's an underwater mermaid. She follows him around, and he takes the most amazing photos, gets all the special, the soup fin sharks, the seven gills that are in our local, you know, terrain here, our underwater world. And the Instagram handle is RLB Dive Club.
So
Rancho La Bolsa Dive Club, RLB Dive Club. Take a look, and it really captures what the spirit is. And I think, Mike, you said it best during the break. It's an aloha spirit, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's go enjoy the ocean, clean it up, be in its wonder, right? Really just stoke.
Yeah. There's a little bit of magic in the ocean,
right?
You know, especially when you spend time down there and you're free diving and you see the wildlife. So it's not just about what we're taking out, but what we're appreciating while we're there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that obviously this generation, you're at least making the effort to take care of the ocean. How many generations back does this go? I mean, when did we start being concerned enough to start groups like yours?
So this is kind of a debate, I think, but you know, you can't really pinpoint that. But when we look at the history, one of the great things about this is we have some legendary watermen in our crew.
Yeah.
Right. Gary Cagorno.
Started Aquathon.
Yep. Aquathon. Todd Miller.
Yep. Scott McCarter.
Scott McCarter.
Yeah.
Right. These are guys that are local legends to us and to those around them and really care about the history of Laguna Beach. They care about the water. They care about the ocean.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of watermen that are legendary that aren't in the club or associated with the club. A quick shout out to Diver Dave in Victoria Beach.
What a great name to have, man.
Diver Dave.
Diver Dave. Yeah. I know.
If you go to Vic, you'd ask anybody about Diver Dave. Like, oh, yeah, it's Diver Dave. So Dave used to be a commercial diver and worked on the first Blue Planet.
The documentary.
The documentary.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and he talks about diving with, like, seven tanks, some filled with helium, some with nitrox, some with oxygen, and some with just regular air. And it's crazy the stuff that they used to do. And they used to crane this camera, and it was about a one-ton camera that did like 4K video back in the day. Right. And it was weighed like 1,000 pounds for like 15 minutes of video. Yeah, so now we're also lucky, you know, you see guys out there with their cameras and videoing stuff and you know, like GoPros and, you know, guys with underwater cameras taking shots of the wildlife. It's really cool to see what people produce visually.
Right.
Because that gives us an idea of what's hidden under the water.
Right. This shares it, right?
Yeah.
It's the way to share it. And so to your question about the history and when we started thinking about this, Scott McCarter brought a book one day and we read about an early dive club. Okay. And, you know, we were reading about their rituals and their day to day. And it felt just like us. And so I think this has been, it's just when you experience that, when you experience the majesty of the ocean, right? That's the only choice.
Yeah.
Is to live with it, nurture it, be there for it, just like it is for you.
Yeah.
And just like with anything else, if you want to feel that the legacy of something is being taken care of, you teach your kids, and we try teaching our kids the right things to do. Are there younger people involved? Are there super young people involved? What's your group look like?
Oh yeah, so we have an amazing group, and it's growing. You know, and we have leaders in our group that are amazing, right? And that have brought a lot of different people in and educated, like Mike was saying, around Laguna.
Right.
But I'll say Diver of the Year this year. By the way, Mike was Diver of the Year, our first ever Diver of the Year last year. So nice.
Do you still have the hammer, or do you have to give that up?
I had to give up the war hammer last week.
Okay. It makes the journey with the Diver of the Year. Right. So it's the Stanley Cup. Yeah. So
it's a legacy thing. Very cool. Keep it for a year.
So this year's Diver of the Year, Jeff Moran, Fish Boy, as he's known.
She has Fishman.
Fishman. I know. I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
Right.
affectionate names, has two daughters that are in the club, and the youngest is 9.
Yeah.
Oh, there and you she's, go. She's diving down 20, 30, 35 feet, going to see the sand dollar fields, picking up coins. His daughters have found coins and lead all over the place. And it's pretty amazing to see the youth get involved like that.
Yeah, it's gratifying. It's gratifying to hear about that a 9-year-old is taking such interest enough to do that.
Yeah, and kudos to Jeff for teaching his children how to take care of the ocean and dive.
Right.
Because teaching them to have that appreciation means they're going to go out and teach other people. Right. And so we see younger people coming with them to go out diving that they're now escorting and hosting and showing them what we do. And so, it lives on.
Right.
It lives on.
You mentioned sand dollar fields. There's a sand dollar field out there? There's an area where there's nothing but sand dollars?
Yeah, and they're positioned how I never would imagine them to be. You think these flat things are on the bottom.
Right.
They're sitting up on their side, just poking out of the sand.
Yeah. Vertical.
That's vertical. Very
cool. Sticking out.
Field.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thousands.
See, I need to take up diving now. I need to go learn how to scuba, man.
Cool. They do certifications at Beach City Scuba.
Right, I know. Yeah. I know, right across the street from Wave, across the street from Husky Boy. I could go get my certification and go eat a burger afterwards.
Or a pastrami.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Good pastrami there. So where's the future of our coast? So a few years ago, we got environmental protection. The coast is a protected marine sanctuary now.
Right. NPA.
Has that helped?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I think those of us that have been diving for a long time, we've definitely seen an increase in the fish populations.
Good.
You see big schools now. And then from the schools, you see more predators, more dolphins, sharks. Big sharks, but we saw a mating pair of soup fin sharks out there last winter time earlier in 22. What about 5-6 feet?
Soup fins,
yeah.
Kelly calls them miso, and what's the other one?
I don't know.
Named after soups.
Sake.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm told that Gary has texted you. He wanted you to text you to check your phones to be sure.
Oh.
Yeah, so, yeah.
There's our leader right there.
And by the way, talk about Gary for a second, if you will. I tell the audience, they kind of know him. He does a regular gig here with Alyssa. But tell our audience the importance of Gary in this.
Well, Gary, ultimate waterman. Gary's a legend. Yeah. What do you say about Gary? So I think the most notable thing would be the Aquathon, for sure, of many things. But just to talk about the Aquathon a little bit, John, I know you've done it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a walk, swim from, where do we start now? It used to be at Emerald Bay.
Crescent,
and it goes all the way down to, I think now we stop at the Lost Pier Cafe in Aliso. But it used to go all the way down to past Thousand Steps and include all the beaches. So you'd walk where you had reef or beach, and then you'd swim around the rocks in certain places, or... If you just wanted to swim, you could swim but bring your mask, bring your boogie board, whatever, walking shoes. Come out and join us. It's unofficial, so it doesn't really happen.
Right.
Unless you know somebody and then it happens.
Right.
Gary said it doesn't happen, but definitely happens.
Unofficial.
It's unofficial. But I think there's a website. Gary, you might want to text us. I think there's an official Aquathon site. Yeah, tune into that. Every year, you can see guys, gals, walking the beach, swimming, and you're like, what are these people doing?
8 miles of coastline, right?
Eight.
And it's unbelievable, the terrain and the structure under the water. And, to see Laguna Beach from that perspective, it's amazing. So we all owe thanks to Gary for that, because it's really changed me for sure.
And I think we have like 32 different pocket beaches in Laguna, something like that, 32, 34.
There's nothing I love more, and then I mentioned the kayak earlier, nothing I love more than being out there and then turning it around and looking back on this magnificent shoreline we have. It is just wonderful. And then, of course, I have to turn back around because there's Mylar balloon. There's a Mylar balloon floating by. I got to pick it up and put it in the boat. When you're diving, when you're down there, and you mentioned coins earlier, I can't imagine the amount of coins that are there because people making wishes or whatever the reason is, as well as the lead that you find.
Yeah, I mean, we're finding silver teeth. What'd you bring here?
Lots of
bullets. What is that?
Well, this bullet casing.
It's like a 3-inch bullet casing.
Okay.
So I didn't find this here in Laguna, but I was recently diving in Palau.
Right.
And that was a site of a big battle in World War II between the United States and Japanese.
Right.
And just being a lead hound these days,
right.
I happened to see it down about 75 feet in a site where a battle took place called Peleliu. So I extracted the bullet just to have it.
So cool.
So, you know, John just got back from Hawaii, and I, you know, talk about that location.
Mike mentioned, you know, that we kind of take this spirit with us now everywhere we go. Yeah. And my wife and I were in Hawaii. And Oahu is beautiful, and we're at the beach China Walls, and I saw some fishermen casting off, and I said, "Hey, let me dive down there and check it out." So we dove down, and there is lead and spark plugs everywhere in the coral. So I had to get to work, you know. Right. I started pulling some stuff out, but
barehanded.
It's everywhere.
Right. And razor sharp coral.
And so there's work to be done everywhere, right? But back to the bullet, didn't you find an actual lead
projectile? Lead
projectile from the bullet? You brought that to show everybody.
Yeah, actually, I found I was hanging out with Richard Ricca on the beach. I've seen him around, and I just started talking to him. But he is one of these legacy watermen.
Legend.
He had a metal detector, and I'd see him walk up and down the beach, and never really talked to him. But we're just rapping, and you know, all of a sudden is. Metal detector went off and bam, there was a bullet. He pulled it out of the sand and it's like, huh, wonder where that came from.
Right.
New Year's Eve, somebody fired a gun, you don't know.
Right.
So every piece of lead, every piece of metal, like everything has a story.
Right.
And talk about, John, some of the different places here in Laguna, because you're talking about.
So Gary opened, you know, with the Aquathon, you have this whole new found, I mean, we have a dive site of a sunken barge. Richard found a Cessna, right?
Corsair from
the entire plane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll talk about him in a minute.
But along the coast, right, this 8-mile stretch, right. You have these amazing dive spots. And we've got the Silo. We've got...
Crack.
Giggle Crack. We go to Shaw's, we go to Crescent, Boat Canyon,
right.
You know, pretty much every pier, right?
Yeah, where all the old piers were.
Right, we've looked at all the piers, right. And we've got our own home spot, the pocket, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that's really interesting is we're finding, you know, obviously, like we mentioned, coins and teeth and all this stuff. A lot of it is, I think one of the fish girls found like a German gold coin.
Yeah.
In one of these, you know, so you're seeing these really cool kind of artifacts,
right? Can I interrupt real fast? As you're making the dive, and I'm particularly curious about the North Laguna coves. Can you tell from the discoloration of the seabed of the floor if there's a lot of lead or a lot of pollutants? Is that an indicator at all?
No, you really have to hunt for it. So okay. I think it's part of the sort of the hunter mentality that you have to have in the ocean a little bit sometimes. And,
right.
You know, you have to sort of dig into holes and cracks and crevices and, you know, where you find one piece, typically you'll find a bunch of pieces because the tides tend to push all the lead into certain spots.
Right.
Just because it's either deeper or somehow the way that the ocean moves, it kind of pushes the lead into certain spots.
Usually natural holes or grooves or under rock.
And as soon as you clean one out, which me and John, we cleaned out, what would we call that
one,
place,
the Silo? One called the Silo, yeah.
I think John found 240 pieces one day.
We collectively pulled out like 400 or 500 pieces.
I think that,
that's
that
mind-boggling.
Yeah. That one day alone, I think I got 130, 140.
I'm pretty comfortable in the water, and I had a hard time swimming that stuff back.
Yeah. So this is the other side of that, is the ocean. I always say she's like a fickle mistress. You know, she loves you 1 minute, and if you turn your back on her, she'll bite you hard in the back. Right. So in that particular location, there's a very shallow reef that if you turn your back on the ocean, a rogue wave can come, and it can make you have a face plant. Ooh. Rambo.
Rambo. And, fearless leader.
Our fearless leader.
Nobody said it was going to be easy.
Nobody said it was going to be easy.
That's the team motto. So,
yeah. And he's a very skilled waterman, and, right. You know, a rogue wave comes up and, you know, pushes his face into the reef, and he's walking around with a
little blood,
little black eyes, and I think he made him look better.
Yeah.
He got to wear his cool beanie with the sunglasses baked in.
Warrior him, mode. So, yeah. He looks good that way. Yeah.
Tell me about the Cessna.
Okay, so we're just a group of guys that have been doing this for a couple of years, but we've got watermen who've been doing this in these waters for a really long time,
right?
So talking about Richard Ricca, who I just met, he and his crew found this Corsair off the coast of Crystal Cove. So it's down about 100 feet, and I don't know how they found it, but he said that he was there when the Navy salvaged the engine out of it, and then when they turned the prop and stuck it into the sand. So that's, you know, one of their claims to fame is they found that, and they turned the Navy onto it,
right?
And, you know, they're, you know, treasure hunter, pirate, waterman, kind of like we are.
Sea cowboys.
Yeah. And so they would go to Catalina, take their boat out to Catalina, and they had a fish finder, and they found an old Spanish galleon on the, you know, by finding something on the fish finder, they dived down, and on this galleon, they had a cannon. So they actually salvaged a cannon off of this old galleon. You know, so talk about a lead score, you know, like,
right.
So I think we get all geeked, you know, when we find big pieces of lead underwater, but it's just that spirit of adventure,
right.
You know, and that connection to the ocean and wildlife that we have at our front doorstep, that aloha spirit that just keeps calling you back to it, like John said. And, you know, it's one of those things where we have to be good stewards. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, pull out lead, but it's also, you know, our playground, right? And it's a home of wildlife. And so, you know, you have guys like Rich German, who has spent thousands of hours on the stand-up paddle photographing. And
been here on the program several times.
Yeah, he's come out to our club and kind of talked to us about what he does. And, you know, from seeing orcas in the water, our local waters, to, you know, gray whales and blue whales and everything, sharks, you know, it's just amazing what's out there.
When we talk about lead, and I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know, do they still to this day, fishermen use lead weights?
Yeah.
And is there a way to maybe educate fishermen or the fishing industry, or is there a way to educate them to use something else? And is there anything else other than lead for them?
I think it's getting better in a little bit because we're using lines that are tougher, like braid, instead of monofilaments and things like that cut easily on the, maybe, I don't know.
I hate braid.
Yeah. Personal preference. You know, you see it, like, I see a lot of monofilament in the reefs. I see it all over the place, and I don't see much braid. I don't see much of that stuff around. And I know that stuff these get caught in the rocks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what ends up happening. A lot of it's shore fishing, you know? Yeah. So you get caught in the rocks, it snaps off, and it's there forever.
Yeah. But I think being an MPA, there's no more fishing in Laguna.
Right.
No spear fishing, no line fishing. Right. So, I, you know, as we were talking about before, we've seen the fish populations come back.
Right.
We're not accumulating new lead, as far as we know, unless we got poachers coming into.
Well, I'll be the first to admit, I'll call someone out. I will actually call Marine Services. I'll call the authorities if I catch somebody fishing. I'll be the first one to do it, man. It's like, you know, I know you're not supposed to be fishing. Boom, I'm on the phone.
Yeah, call them.
Yeah,
everybody, call them.
Right.
You know, don't be shy. If you're on a boat and you see somebody throwing a line in the water, call them out.
Right.
Hey, this is an MPA. Like, I I see people attempting to fish at Vic, and I'll call them out. I'm like, hey, right. You know, you can't fish here.
Right.
You know, I'm a fisherman. I'd love to fish here. Some big fat sheephead. I can tell you where they are. I dive with them all the time. The calicos follow me around like I'm the Pied Piper. I know where the school is, but I'm not fishing. So right. No,
but,
don't.
But to the MPA, right, it's like you cross the line and the wildlife is completely different.
Right.
It's like 20 feet and it's a whole, it's like an aquarium.
Yeah.
You know, when you cross into the MPA. So it's amazing.
And since you started diving, or since you started really paying attention to what you see around when you dive, have you seen the kelp beds come back, or our kelp population grow?
Yeah, I think definitely we're seeing an increase in the kelp forest. Nancy, what's Nancy's last name? Drawing a blank. But our local marine biologist went on a bit of a crusade to you know, take care of the sea urchin population, because sea urchins attach to the kelp stocks. And if urchin at the bottom of the ocean eats through a kelp stock, the whole thing's gone. And so the forest can be easily decimated very quickly by urchins. So she went in and handled the sea urchin problem, because there used to be tons of urchins here and now there's not.
Right.
And so the kelp forests are able to grow back. And so being a kayaker, you know,
right.
You go out there in the wintertime and the cold water, just they grow like crazy.
Right. Right.
You know, we watch the seasonal changes in the kelp forest, you know, like wintertime they grow like wildfire.
Right.
You know, and then it's so much fun to dive in the kelp forest.
You know? We want that kelp because that's what, you know, the abalone eat.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
We're learning about all these things, about how these all sustain themselves.
And you mentioned sea urchins damaging the kelp. Do sea urchins have a natural enemy within our oceans that can feed off of them or feed, you know?
John Mann's the natural enemy. John Mann, by the way, is the captain of our U.S. water polo team, Olympian, by the way.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Right on.
Anything in the ocean should fear John. Yeah. Great whites don't stand a chance.
Get me pumped up next time I do a dive out in the middle of nowhere, okay?
I'm with you, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know I am.
And Nancy Caruso.
Nancy Caruso.
She's,
big shout out.
Yeah, she's incredible. Came to our last dive club gathering, and we learned a lot about what's going on with the local abalone population.
Yeah.
She's actually raising live abalone and reintroducing them. And so
very cool.
Learning how to feed them kelp, all these different things. They're everywhere now. So it's really cool.
Yeah, these oceans used to be filled with abalone. Right. And so much of, you know, the fur traders coming down back in the late 1800s, they would find abalone and they would, you know, sell the shells. Even the Native Americans, you know, they found abalone shells as far east as Colorado, and they had to travel from California to get there,
right.
Which is how the Spanish found that there had to be some kind of route overland from the Gulf of Mexico to the coast of California, because abalone had traveled into Colorado where the Spanish were, and that's how they figured out how to go overland to...
It was the Chumash, I believe. The Chumash, and they used it, as a currency.
Yeah.
Abalone shell.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's rich, rich history with everything that has come out of the ocean just over the years. I mean, California history has evolved out of the ocean, and we're so lucky because, you know, this is one of the best dive locations in the world. You know, you can talk about, you know, going anywhere in the world, Indonesia, Australia, Fiji, Palau, Hawaii, Caribbean. Yeah, the water's warmer, but the diving here in the Pacific is equally as magical. Right. You're not going to see as many tropical fish, but you're going to see different populations, and you're going to see things here you won't see anywhere else in the world. And you won't know that unless you go down there.
It's right here.
You know,
it's right here.
So cool.
Grab a mask.
Going to pump in another song. We'll come back on the other side and talk some more.
Right on.
All right, man. You guys do great work. By the way, if you'd like to contribute to Mike and John's hour, you can call the lobby. We got operators standing by right now, 949-715-4859. You can text the word TAKEOVER to 949-715-KXFM or simply go to the website, kxfmradio.org. You look for it. I think it's under Gary's name. I think you look under Gary Cagorno.
Cagorno.
And look for that link and you can donate that way. Yeah, let's pop some music and then we'll be back on the other side.
Blow it up, Laguna.
All right.
It's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Because 2 times 3 is
6.
And 3 times 6 is
18.
And the 18th letter in the alphabet is
R.
Yeah. We got 3 R's we're gonna talk about today. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Well, if you're going to the market to buy some juice, you gotta bring your own bags and you learn to reduce your waste. We gotta learn to reduce. And if your brother or your sister's got some cool clothes, you can try them on before you buy some more of those. Reuse. We gotta learn to reuse. And if the first 2 R's don't work out, and if you gotta make some trash, well, don't throw it out. Recycle. We gotta learn to recycle. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Because 3, it's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number.
Jack Johnson and the 3 R's, reduce, reuse, recycle. How important are those words?
Oh, incredibly important. You know, particularly as we become more aware about, you know, the plastic island floating in the Pacific, which is, I don't know how many, it's a mile or two across, and like all the waste that we throw in the ocean ends up, you know, 1,000 miles away, but it never comes out of the ocean. So You gotta be conscious.
Okay, so let me ask you just the dumb guy pedestrian question here. So yeah, there is that giant floating ocean of the crap in the ocean.
Yeah.
How do we take care of that? What is the answer to that?
We can't add to it.
Yeah,
that's
don't.
The biggest thing. We'll figure it. We gotta figure that out.
Don't be dumb. Right? Don't add to it. But there are people that are trying to clean it up. There's some efforts out there, you know, like some nonprofit groups, you know, like the Greenpeace, that, you know, were, you know, anti-whaling and you know talking about that kind of stuff. And there are entrepreneurs out there that are finding ways, and they're using modern technology to sort of corral those, you know, the Pacific Gyre is what it's called, and corral parts of it to reclaim that and recycle it and bring it, you know, for reuse. So it hits all the 3 R's, I think, of, you know, the song that we just heard, you know. And you know, music used to be used to have a message, you know, about these kinds of things, you know, like this is the things that sparked, you know, cultural revolutions and, you know, standing up and standing, you know, forward. Music today doesn't really do that so much.
No.
It doesn't have messages. So it's really important to listen to you know, KXFM to get your messaging on, you know,
there you go.
Cool music that actually people play instruments, you know.
Right on.
Right. And care about the environment and want to take care of our planet.
Yeah. Not to diss modern music.
But. Yeah. Well, I do it all the time. The difference between this radio station, I'll allow me for a moment. The difference between this radio station and the importance is this conversation right here. You're not going to find this on corporate radio. You're not going to find this conversation on a celestial FM somewhere else. It's just not going to happen. Community independent radio is where you get it. And we've been talking for the last, now this time it's flying by, but the last 50 plus minutes here, John and Mike, and important work they do. And again, by the way, the donation link is Stories of Laguna. So you go to kxfmradio.org, you pull down the link, it's Stories of Laguna. How can we help you, and how can the community help you?
Man, I'd just say be a good ambassador. You know, be conscious, be aware of what, you know, starts out on the sand, goes into the ocean. Right. What you put in the streets in Laguna ends up in the ocean. Right. What happens up in Arch Beach Heights that you leave a cup, it comes downhill and ends up in the ocean. So no matter where you are, you know, be aware that what you do has an impact on the environment. And if we don't take care of the oceans, you know, the oceans can't take care of us. And, you know, we're a, you know, little blue marble floating around a small star at the edge of a galaxy, right? And, you know, but, you know, we don't want to choke this beautiful place out because oxygen comes from the ocean.
Should there be stiffer penalties for, like, for instance, bleaching your sidewalk? I see, you know, I used to have neighbors that would bleach their sidewalks just to get the chalk off or something, you know? We should start at the top and
yeah,
right.
You know, like in Bali, like they would drop dynamite onto reefs for fishing.
Okay.
And they learned how to do that, you know, during the different wars that happened in Southeast Asia. The Balinese would then drop dynamite and kill all the fish and then just collect them because it was easy.
Right.
Nobody said it was going to be easy.
Right.
Nobody said it was going to be easy.
Right.
You know, anything worthwhile takes some work and some effort. Right. And so, support this radio station because they're doing great work.
Right.
You know, support, you know, this radio station because they're supporting the work that we're trying to do.
Right.
And the work of other people. And just to give a shout out to the radio station, you know, tune in to the stories because the stories matter.
Right.
The stories behind the music matter because the music tells stories,
right.
And they used to talk about shit that was important and
stuff that was important.
And like talking about stuff like this. Sorry, I see the absolutely no swearing sign now.
It's staring right at me, right in his face.
Did I say that?
I didn't hear anything. I swear I didn't hear anything, man. I didn't hear a word.
we only read under the water.
Anyway. That's right. Yeah. So just a shout out to the radio station. Thank you for having us here. John, close us out, man. Give us your thoughts.
Just shout out to Gary, donated $250. Station here, you know, you said it. People leave the beach and they leave their stuff behind, and we're not going to get everyone to stop doing that, right? But as locals here, having pride in our community, having pride in our beaches and our ocean, I mean, that's what I feel like it's all about with us and our dive club. It's enjoying celebrating cleaning this place,
right.
Celebrating rejuvenating it and making it whole.
Right.
So, go out there. There's a pail out there.
Yeah. It leaves you with a good feeling when you pick something up out of the sand. It really does. When I'm done here at the morning show, I'll go down for a walk on Pearl Street. And I take a paper bag with me, man. It doesn't take anything to just take a paper bag with you. And here, grab some straws out, grabs, you know, whatever, a lot of cigarette butts, grab whatever. Just clean that area that you can manage on your own, and you know, you feel a little better for that.
Yeah, challenge everybody to pick up one thing. Just one thing.
Just one thing.
You're here, you go to the beach every day, pick up one thing.
Right.
And you get 100 people, 1,000 people picking up one thing, and then next thing you know, in a week, you've got 10,000 things.
Right.
Don't let your balloons fly away.
There you go.
That's a big one. You're out in the water, you're paddleboarding, you're doing those things. go around and pick them up. It's kind of fun. It gives you a better workout. You can chase these things down.
Makes me want to cry sometimes, man. I really do. The Mylar in the ocean is my big pet peeve, man. It just makes me want to cry. Before you go, any events that you got coming up that we can be a part of, or anything going on you want people to know about?
We're preparing, I think, big time for the unofficial official Aquathon. That's always something we just look forward to.
And
rain or shine.
Yeah. Club wise, we got a Catalina trip planned.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna clean up Catalina.
Looking for a cannon.
Yep.
All right.
Hopefully, you find a Spanish.
Yeah. Clean up some lead in Catalina, because I'm sure that those oceans have been fished for a while. Mm. If you've never been underwater in the ocean, I encourage you to go take a look. You'll be surprised at the magic that you find. There's a whole world under there that has no idea what's going on the surface. And 70% of the planet is covered by water. So the fish dominate. Yeah. So it might be nice to understand a little bit more about what's going on under the water.
And the other thing, the event is every day. You walk outside, you look at this water, you put a mask on, whether it's 55, 57, or 74.
Right.
Get out there and enjoy it, and it'll change you.
Beautifully stated. Beautifully stated. Mike, John, our hour's up. Thank you so very much for being here. You brought lead with you. Let me give you some lead on the way out. How's that?
Yeah. All right, there we go.
The mighty Led Zeppelin. La 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 la